Be sure to go to HoustonTexans.com to register for your chance to win Lunch with a Texan, which includes lunch in the Texans cafeteria with the Texans Community Player of the Year, food provided by Whataburger, and a tour of the Houston Texans team facilities. October's nominees are punter Shane Leckler, wide receiver Cecil Shorts III, and guard Brandon Brooks. Every vote automatically enters you to win a Whataburger VIP pack, which includes tickets to a Texans game and front-of-the-line access to the Community Player of the Year appearance. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now, as promised, the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. And I know you could not be happier than talking about a victory.
I'm so happy winning a game. Boy, I never thought I'd be happy about one win. But I always say, you know, don't take anything for granted in this league. They won a game. I'm thrilled about it. Now let's hope they can make it two in a row.
Yeah, as everybody keeps saying, I think I've heard it 10 times all day. It's a one-game season each and every week.
Well, I think they have to approach it like that, considering where they were at 1-4. You know, you're trying to put together the building blocks here. You're trying to figure out a way to get to 4-4 at the halfway point. Now, they won't say that, but, man, can you imagine hitting the bye at that level, considering the way you started? But one thing at a time, Patty. You got to beat the Dolphins. It's going to be tough.
Well, let's start with the best news of the day, and really of the week, and that's DeAndre Hopkins, and deservedly so, being named AFC Player of the Week.
Yeah, AFC Player of the Week offensively. Another phenomenal day. He's setting all sorts of records here, tied the Texans' record of four consecutive games with 100 or more receiving yards. He's got three games of nine catches plus 145 yards plus. First time in NFL history that's happened. And he had this, our HCC Play of the Week.
Off the play fake, Hoyer sets up in the pocket, lofts it toward the far side of the field, and Hopkins has it. Is he out of bounds? They'll say yes, it's a catch. What a play. There is a flag down at the 41 of the Jaguars. Oh man, what a catch that was.
You better believe it. That was something.
So I'm wondering if, like, if this thing, you know, holding the football against your head is going to become a thing, you know?
It
or
is
maybe
a
not.
Thing.
It's a thing already.
I think that was even a more impressive thing than the David Tyree thing to me.
Well, that was in a Super Bowl, obviously, great. But, you know, you look at Odell Beckham and what he did last year, which was sensational. I think Hopkins has every bit the ability of him.
Well, DeAndre had one of those last year as well.
He did, but it didn't count because of a penalty. Right. So, look, we're just at the beginning of this career. And we enjoyed Andre Johnson for so long, you know, 12 years of Andre Johnson in this building. I think this is wonderful to have a receiver who, I'm not going to say he's as good as Andre Johnson yet, but he's on a tremendous pace starting his career. So let's just see where it goes from here.
Well, whether it's the quarterbacks, whether it's the running game, we've talked about it so many times, it all really starts on the offensive line.
Yeah, it does. And they were a different group against the Jacksonville Jaguars. You had Chris Clark at right tackle and Dwayne Brown, of course, at left tackle. But in the middle, it's all different at the guards. But Ben Jones is the guy who anchors this thing. He's the quarterback of the offensive line, and I know you had a chance to catch up with him.
Let's talk a little bit about this offensive line. I mean, you're one of the few consistent spots on the line throughout the course of the season. A lot of mixing and matching. Some things work, some things don't. Is that a week-to-week adjustment for you? I mean, can you kind of just take us through how that's been with such inconsistency?
Guys rotate around. That's how we do it in practice, too, because to give guys a break with the NFL, and you only can dress 46 guys. You have to have guys be able to play different positions. So throughout practice, you rotate guys in to give other guys breaks, and it's just a matchup thing. With different guys can play different positions better, and that's what's great about this offensive line. We have so many guys that can play so many different positions, so we're able to mix and match every week.
But how much of it is a chemistry thing, and how important is chemistry to the success of the offense?
We spend a lot of time together in the meeting rooms and after meeting rooms. We do O-line dinners together, so everybody's it's a really tight-knit group, and everybody's puts the work in, so once it comes down to a game day, everybody's on the same page.
So the Miami Dolphins, we touched on a little bit, but the task at hand, when you look at this team specifically, the defense that you'll be going up against, what are the challenges that they pose?
They have a great D-line. You can see last week, Cameron Wake had four sacks last week against Tennessee. Their front fours, they come out and play hard. You have Ndamukong Suh, who they brought in this year, Earl Mitchell, who plays really hard on every snap and never takes a playoff, and those guys like that, you got to really stay on them because you don't want to give up the play late. And literally anybody across the board, they have four guys can come out there and win on every play. So we got to be on our, be on top of our game plan the whole game.
When you're watching film or you know you're going up against a guy like Ndamukong Suh or somebody that's, you know, a different level almost. Does it change your game at all? Extra preparation? Is there anything different for you?
You definitely know where he's at on the field. You know what formations, where he's going to be, so you can do stuff for him. But when it comes down to it, you got to go out there and step up to the challenge.
Still a lot of season left. The season, as we started this interview, didn't start out the way you wanted it to, but no quitting this team. There's a lot of season left. Is that kind of the...
Definitely. We take it one game at a time. We take it as, hey, from here on out, it's a one-game playoff. We got to go out there and win every week. Like, it's a do-or-die situation.
Boy, Ben Jones and his offensive line buddies are going to have their hands full with a front four of the Miami Dolphins. They put a lot of pressure on Marcus Mariota. And you looked at Cameron Wake with four sacks in that game. Ndamukong Suh in the middle. My goodness. Olivier Vernon had two roughing the passer penalties. This is a tough front to deal with. Under new coach Dan Campbell, Shane Leckler's former roommate. Tough bunch to deal with all of a sudden in Miami.
Well, and as you touched on it before, just so important to be able to try to get to 4-4 and to really get this win and some string some back-to-back wins together.
Yeah, it would be great. You know, if you get two in a row for the first time this season, Patty, that would be huge for this team, considering the way they started. Now, this is a squad, 1-4. You go to 4-4, and then the Monday nighter against Cincinnati after the bye, you get an extra day to prepare. But are we looking ahead? Stop me. Let's focus on Miami.
Let's focus on fantasy, shall we?
Yes, let's do it, because John Harris has FanDuel info for you.
All right, everybody, it's FanDuel formula time. Time to get fantasy football cranked up for week number 7 in the NFL. I'm going to give you two value plays, two people you should have on your roster, and one guy, well, you want to circle him and probably keep off your roster. Let's start with the value play. Let's start with two rookies this week. Jameis Winston, quarterback for Tampa Bay, hasn't been the greatest year. You know he's going to turn the ball over. But at $6,500 on FanDuel, that's a pretty good value for a quarterback. And facing Washington, I think he's got an opportunity to put up some good numbers. Good value from the number 1 overall pick in last year's draft. The number 10 overall pick is Todd Gurley, the St. Louis Rams. The Rams have got Cleveland. Yeah, it's $7,400 on FanDuel, but if you're looking for good value, Todd Gurley has been giving it to you fantasy-wise. If you don't have him in your league, Todd Gurley is the guy you definitely want to pick up. And a guy you want to sit on the bench, Brandon Marshall. And I'm a big Brandon Marshall fan. I love everything that Brandon Marshall stands for. Unfortunately, at $8,200, that's pretty expensive, and it's the Patriots. So keep that in mind. Those are your plays for Week 7 on your FanDuel form. If you want to play with me and hundreds of others, HoustonTexans.com/fantasypass.
And this is the time in the show where everyone wants to know how Vanderkid's team did this week. They lost. That's all.
How do you know? Why would you think everybody wants to know?
Because I want to know, and I told everybody, so there.
All right. We're going to take a time out here on the show, but don't go away. When we come back, something very special. In fact, it's Special Olympics. Stay with us.